in a world where options are limitless, but time is not. Two heroes take a stand against injustice and overwhelming viewing choices. Starring Jane Ellen.
I don't see how the human race survived the medieval period.
And Adam Cravens.
A lot of them didn't.
This is Binge or Cringe. A podcast that lets you know what's worth watching and what's not. From the Henson Oakley Podcast Center and Rock 93.7.
Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam.
And Hulu has really stepped up their original productions.
Well, you know what might have something to do with that?
George Clooney?
Disney just purchased, like, all the... Like, Hulu is now a Disney-owned, like, service. So they're going to have Disney Plus and Hulu.
Mm-hmm. So, Hulu was telling me to watch Catch-22.
The Mark Wahlberg?
No.
Catch 22.
And this show is far better than I had even imagined, but that could be just from a personal aspect for me, and I will tell you why. Un momento. So, a Catch 22 is much. Imagine you're Corporal Klinger.
Sure.
And you want your 4F. You want to be tossed out of the military because you're crazy. So here's the catch-22 in the military, and that is, it's not crazy to want to not fight because you want to protect your personal being and stay alive.
Right.
But if you say you're crazy, then you must not be crazy, because someone who truly is crazy isn't going to be aware enough that they're crazy.
Like the direct opposite of I think, therefore I am?
Yes. And thus, that is the catch-22. So, you have, and now I understand why George Clooney was in it, albeit briefly, and it was delicious, as a very mouthy officer. Just very...
I think it's really impressive that a guy that started out as a side character on Roseanne and starred in one of the most forgettable films in the Batman franchise is now the, like, revered, respected...
He's turning into Clint Eastwood.
I'm just saying, like...
Truly.
Would you, like...
No, I never would have.
I guess it's like if you saw...
Leonardo, seriously.
DiCaprio.
Yeah.
If you were like, that kid on Growing Pains... He's going places.
He's going to be amazing. Nope. Anyway, I realize that most of this was filmed in Italy and working with Sky Italia. Another reason why I'm sure Clooney said, well, sure, I'll do it. I won't have to leave the house.
Much the same way they got him to do, like, Ocean's 12. They're like, wait, we're going to vacation where? I mean, shoot a film where?
Yeah, vacation. So, the novel came out in 1961. It was written by Joseph Heller. This is only a 6-episode series. And because it was only a 1 novel, I don't know, because I haven't seen the end of it, how this is going to be. But first, let me tell you, from the cinematography, it's very deliberate. It is beautiful. When they're in the hospitals, it's the whitest of white sheets. All of the military guys are just what you would expect. I mean, they're prime in the youth, or they're quirky, and they're it's a little sepia-tinged, and it's just, it's beautiful. The soundtrack is amazing, and a song from Rosemary Clooney that I had never heard that was fabulous. So... what happens is you have this guy named Yossarian, and he just doesn't want to do this anymore. And he is a bombardier. Now, here's where my life comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
My father, in World War II, was stationed in Italy, just like these guys.
Interesting.
And they flew, the European campaign was stationed in Italy and flew over Germany, because it was easier to go from there as opposed to the Pacific side. So they were in Italy, flew over, bombed Germany, came back. And that's what this is about. Now, my dad was in B-17s, and these guys are either in 17s or 22s. I don't know my planes that much, but I do know that my father was a bombardier, and he was a gunner. And so you see people in these different roles. And Yossarian, who they call Yo-Yo, he is the bombardier. And he just doesn't want to do it. But after George Clooney's character is no longer there, who is the guy that starred in Friday Night Lights? That guy?
The television show?
Yes.
Or the Kyle?
Kyle Chandler.
Kyle Chandler, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kyle Chandler replaces him, and he is just, he is American, and he wants to beat him. And so he keeps raising the number as to how many of these flight runs you have to take. And each time Yo-Yo gets close, like, I like one more, and then I don't have to do this anymore because they'll switch them out, he raises it five more. And so Yo-Yo keeps going to the doctor saying, what do I got to do? In the meantime, you have the, much like in The Great Escape, James Garner's character was the one who could acquire anything. You've got to.
I know we're not talking about The Great Escape,
but what
if you haven't. If you haven't seen it,
yeah, you should.
Like, just stop and do that. Like, it's
stop it right now. Go watch it. Get back to us.
It's like, find it on Blu-ray, DVD, video.
Come
on
to my house.
Something. I don't
just
know if it's on
it.
Netflix, but it is. You will not be sorry that you did. Continue.
So you have this guy who, he's clearly running some sort of con for himself, but because they're in Italy, he is acquiring all this fresh food. And then he's borrowing a plane with the Kyle Chandler commander characters because he's not really following what's going on, but he does know that they're eating better, and now they have sausages, and now they have lamb chops, and now they have this. So there's that going on. And, oh, and House is in it. You know, Dr. House?
Well, it's not the actor's name, but yes.
Whatever. House is in it.
Yes.
The only woman I've seen has my color hair, so you know they're incredibly attractive. And so there's whole that going on. Now, it's being billed as a comedy. I'm not going to say that this is a laugh-out-loud thing, but there are many funny exchanges. But this is still a World War II TV show. And for me, it was just that more real because of the enclosed spaces and that I knew that my father had been through many, many, many situations like this. Many. And so that was just, it made it more interesting for me on a personal level. And because I've been in a bomber such as what they had, it's a very, very tight space that you're in. And when you are the bombardier, you're in a bubble. So in this case, it's probably not a B-17 because the 17 I was in, the bubble was on the bottom of the plane. And that's where the bombardier sat. And then they lined up everything and they dropped the bombs. In this case, Yo-Yo is in the front of the plane. Those flying it are above and also in the front. But he's like the nose part of the plane where the bombardier sits. So it's like you're, you know, you just have air everywhere because the glass is all around you. And it's got to be, it had to have been claustrophobic, and then you see all the flak, and just, it's very well done, and it is entertaining, amusing, and beautifully filmed. I just don't know if it's going to be a running series, because, you know, how long can he be trying to get out of World War II, you know? So
I don't know how much, like, you know, have people want to hang around in a coffee shop in New York. You can get some mileage out of that. I don't know how many stories that you can get out of that particular concept.
The last scene I saw, and I am just through, well, I'm halfway through. He managed to convince a nurse to just let him hang out in the hospital. And he said, if you need the bed, I'll move. Just let me be here for a little bit. And there's a guy in a full body cast, and someone is sitting by the body cast guy's bedside, and he is the most irritating person on the face of the planet. And so finally, Yo-Yo goes for him, because you hate the guy immediately. He's got an annoying accent, everything he says is annoying, everything is inflammatory, and you can see Yo-Yo's bodily reactions to this guy who won't shut up. So that's the kind of humor you have in this. Though I can't say it's laugh out loud, it is funny. For instance, there's a character named Major Major. Major is his first name and last name because his dad thought that would be funny. but the army thought it was his rank. So in order for the commander not to be embarrassed, he made him a major. So he is now major, major, major.
That's kind of delightful.
But major, major, major is like 22 years old. He doesn't know what a major does. So he has an assistant and he says, so I tell you what to do? Yes, you do, sir.
You certainly do, major.
I want you to tell people that they can see me after I have left. You mean you won't be there? I won't be there, but that's when they can go in and see me. Yes, sir, major, major. So you have those kind of exchanges going on, and it is truly binge-worthy. I just want to watch the rest of it right now.
But that's unfortunately, like. You had to stop to do this podcast,
yes.
Which just inconvenienced you from getting to binge the
more.
Thing
well,
that
yes.
you very want. Your Catch-22, if
exactly.
you will.
Exactly.
There you are.
So I do recommend it. It is only 6 episodes, so it's totally doable.
It's not a
doable.
Big commitment, yeah.
And it's just really, really well done. And if Hulu is going to be churning out more of that kind of stuff, yes.
Well, with Disney's recent acquisition, they've got the money to do it.
They sure do. Now, we haven't done our Endgame spoilers show, but I'm going to say right now, you have seen the last episode of Game of Thrones.
I have.
We have mentioned before how binge-worthy it is.
Yes.
And we are going to talk spoilers.
Okay, and I think as long as we warn up front,
yes.
like again, we will be discussing plot details of the
of Game
of, this
of
show.
Thrones.
It's really hard to talk about a finale without mentioning mm-hmm. anything in it.
And seeing as there was such a buildup for this, I think if you're a hardcore Game of Thrones fan, by the time you listen to this, you've already had a couple of days to have seen it. So that's on you.
And on top of that, it set a ratings record for HBO. Like the, what is it, the single airing record that The Sopranos set for its fourth season in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
This one broke that. And I'm not adding in like HBO Go, HBO Now, like re-airings of it, because like with that, it goes up to like somewhere around 20 million. But I think it hit like a 13.8, which for a pay cable service is ridiculous. Like
mm-hmm.
that number is a number you'd be satisfied on a regular network.
Mm-hmm.
Like ABC would like that number. But if you look at how much more restricted, like having, like, you know, an HBO or a show, or again, it's not free to anybody. You have to pay to see this. That number is astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't happen. And again, it's a record that's held for 17 years at this point.
So, spoilers ahead, Game of Thrones. You're listening to Binge or Cringe from High Atop, the podcast center, brought to you by Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry, Jane Ellen talking to Adam Cravens. So let us commence with the Game of Thrones finale spoilers. I have read a review.
Okay.
Which the person was just making a review. It wasn't like, I'm so mad about this. So there is that. And I realized that I am obviously more behind than I realized, because it wasn't until they said Jaime and Tyrion and Daenerys, well, I know who they are.
I know those people.
But these other people,
what's going on with them fools?
I guess there's Hodor's not in it.
Do you want me to tell you what happened to Hodor?
Well, I'm sure it was bloody and horrible.
It was actually very touching.
Aww.
And it involved some warging, like, but it was genuinely, it was a very sad and like touching moment. And it even reveals why his name is Hodor.
Okay, tell me that. Why is his name Hodor? Hodor! Because that's all he said, right?
As they are trying to get away from some Westerosi creatures,
uh-huh.
He is doing this to save Bran. He is put himself in front of a door, and he is shutting it so that Bran can live. What had happened is Bran had warged back in time and actually accidentally taken his consciousness out of a younger version of Hodor.
Mm-hmm.
Hodor is actually what he's saying in the last moments before he dies. And it's mistranslated because he was warged out of it and basically had his consciousness
taken
by another.
Hold the door.
Hold the door. And he did it to save Bran. Like, it's basically, he's clawed to death. And this entire time, he's been saying, every time you listen to the guy say Hodor, Hodor, you're just like, oh, well, he's repeating his name. Okay. Mm-hmm. No, that they've been telling you since that he's been saying, hold the door, hold the door.
Wow.
Hold, like, it, one of the most touching and just heartbreaking episodes of the series. But yeah, that's what happened to Hodor. Like, he got a very, like, just pitch perfect send off. Like, could not have went out on a better note.
For and him. For me to recall, Bran is the one initially pushed out the window who Hodor carries around.
Yes, by
his
Jaime Lannister.
Parents.
Yeah, is the one that's crippled in the first episode.
Yes, and those are his sibling parents.
Which, and again, the what now?
Those are his sibling parents?
No. The one that is pushed out, he is one of the Starks' children.
Oh, okay.
Bran eventually becomes...
Yes, okay. Now I remember.
Bran eventually becomes the Three-Eyed Raven. And in what was a move that I absolutely did not see coming, Bran becomes the king of the Six Kingdoms.
Like, so, he is in Game of Thrones, Bran won.
Well, yes. He won the Game of Thrones. Like, if you would have let me pick the top 25 people, like say in season 3, and you would have said, who's going to win this? He would not have been on my top.
Now, you know, from just watching, and I really paid attention season 1 and 2. Maybe I saw 3. But from season 2, if you had asked me then, that's who I thought would have, just because of the great lengths that was gone to save him and all of this stuff, and he was Ned Stark's kid, and Sean Bean, who I've spoken to.
Yes. Hodor.
So there, at that point, yes, I would have thought that. But now, that was prior to a lot of Jon Snowage. I know there were a lot of people thinking it was going to be him.
Well, I mean, it's even revealed at I believe it's the end of last season, more or less telling him that he's the target. Like, Jon Snow is the legitimate heir to the Iron Throne. Like, he is, if you want to go through, like, the parentage and the one that should be the first in line for it, this character that they have said pretty much from the beginning is Ned Stark's bastard son.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why Ned Stark, who is apparently the only person in Westeros that can keep a secret about anything, his sister had a child with a Targaryen. He understood what would happen if anyone found out who this boy was. They would kill him. And his sister more or less just said, I don't want that to happen to my boy. You have to protect him. And then she passes. So Ned Stark, and he doesn't even tell his wife this. Ned Stark comes back and said, hey, I had an affair with somebody. This is one of my bastard children. She died.
Deal with it.
We're going to raise him as our own. Ned Stark, through great personal, because I guarantee you that's a discussion and a bunch of hardship that Ned Stark got to go through that he in no way had earned, raises the boy as his own, understands what would happen if anybody ever finds out who he is.
Like, it just makes Ned even better.
It will mark him from the grave from 7 seasons ago, like, or at that point 6, you're just like, oh my goodness, not only is Ned Stark the greatest...
Sean Bean, with whom I have had a conversation.
I'm betting Sean Bean is a stand-up guy, too.
Oh,
but
probably,
like,
yeah.
Ned Stark, you're just sitting there going, oh my goodness, like, first, A, you thought he was bringing up, like, his bastard son brought him into his home. You're already like, okay, well, that's a really, you know, kind of noble, that's the right thing to do. No, not only that... He wasn't. Ned Stark never did anything against his wife, whom it is portrayed in the small time they get there that he deeply loves. And apparently, like, he did. Like, never cheats on her. This boy is not his. It's his sister's. It's his nephew, and he is making sure that he doesn't die. Like, that's the reason why they send him to the Night's Watch at the beginning of the season, because he wants to get him as far away from these people so that if anybody ever does find any of this out, that his sister's son won't die.
So, did Jon Snow's biological father even know he existed?
I don't believe so. Not that I'm aware, but like this is also a multi-layered like narrative, and I may have missed something.
Okay.
Like, I mean, it's about like reading like the begat part of the Bible sometimes. Like when you try to connect who is the son of who, and like this is the, you know, heir to this, and the, you know, the holder of the, like it's, this is a very complex series. Like, and if you look at the books that they're based on, I mean, they're encyclopedias mm-hmm. of information.
And my understanding is at the end, Jon Snow does live and he just walks off to be on his own.
What has happened there, Daenerys, who has been kind of painted as your hero this entire time, you have finally got the final confrontation between the show is called Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. but through its entire run, it's basically been Starks v. Lannisters. Cersei Lannister, who blew up a church in order to wipe out everybody that would have been in front of her in the line for it, basically kills everyone that would have a right to the throne before her that is in King's Landing, and Cersei becomes the queen at the end of one of the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Cersei is the worst of the Lannisters. Jaime has some redeeming qualities. Like, Tyrion, definitely the best of the Lannisters. Cersei is just a despicable, terrible person. Two episodes ago, more or less, you finally get to have that Lannisters versus the Starks mm-hmm. come to a head. Like, after they defeated the White Walkers, like, they basically said, Daenerys is like, I'm going to King's Landing. I'm claiming the Iron Throne. I am the queen of the Seven Kingdoms.
And that is Khaleesi.
That's the Khaleesi, yes. Tyrion, like, who, you know, used to live there, like, has compassion for, like, the innocent people that do live mm-hmm. within there. Because Cersei has said, hey, I'll protect you from all these foreigners from evil lands are coming. And she's brought them into King's Landing because she thinks, okay, well, they're not going to.
So she's anti-immigrant.
She paints it that way, yes.
I see.
Yes. More or less, like, Tyrion has said, okay, if they will surrender, if I can get them to ring the bells, like, these people didn't do anything. Like, Cersei is manipulating them, but it's not her fault. Like, she's the one that needs to pay. Like, I understand, my sister is a terrible person, okay? I understand that. If you need to destroy her, I understand that, but these people didn't do any of that. Tyrion is just basically trying to say, hey, after we defeat them, and we're going to defeat them, like, we have all of these armies, we've got dragons, like, they're going down. You need to call them off. And she's like, yeah, sure, okay, whatever. Before it's all said and done, one of her dragons is killed. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a scorpion. It's basically a giant harpoon capable of, like, piercing dragon skin.
Mm-hmm.
And she kills another one of Daenerys' dragons, which have been more or less portrayed as her children. Daenerys is not happy about that. One of her closest
That's her Aquaman
allies,
children.
One of her closest allies.
I got an eye roll for that.
Missandei. Cersei basically says, you need to surrender. Like, they, whenever they attacked, like, their fleet, whenever they killed the dragon, they also take one of her closest, like, companions, allies, been on the show for multiple seasons mm-hmm. at this point. And she's got her up on, like, basically a stage, and she's like, you will surrender to me, or I'll kill her. That's what's going to happen. You can surrender, she'll live, but I'm going to tell you right now, like, you may take us out, like, in a run, but I'm going to behead her if you don't surrender. And, like, Tyrion, like, again, comes on the back, who is the hand of the queen, like, basically her mm-hmm. trusted advisor, and he's just like, Cersei, don't do this. Like, you were going to lose. Like, I'm just telling you, like, tactically, you can't win this fight. So Cersei, in a move that absolutely no one thought she was going to do, does not, you know, wave the white flag to Daenerys, and she beheads one of her closest allies. Like, Daenerys is, you can see the rage, like, mm-hmm. fueling inside her. And the previous episode, which is called The Bells, they start mopping the floor with King's Landing. Like, mm-hmm. they have the tactical advantage. They have the dragon. Like, they have the better of the, you know, the generals, the war makers. And they finally get them to surrender. Cersei doesn't call it, like, and she's not happy about this. But more or less, like, it happens. And Daenerys stops, like she perches her dragon, like on the side of the castle. Like, I mean, they've won. Like, and you're just like, wow, the episode still has a lot of time in it. They won that thing.
And this next part is what everyone's ticked off about.
Yes, they won this thing fast. What is going on? And you just start seeing, like, you start seeing Daenerys just getting angrier and angrier. And suddenly you see the dragon jump back into the air and start flying. And Daenerys lays waste to King's Landing. She's already destroyed every boat that they've got. And I mean, she's
does
not...
Does that include Tyrion?
No, Tyrion does make it out of this.
Yay! Does he get a happy ending?
Tyrion is the Hand of Bran the Broken. That's the name of him as the king. Tyrion does make it out of here. But basically, Daenerys burned... Like, she burns every ounce of King's Landing. She is burning women. She is burning children. She's taking down the castle. She brings down, like, the castle on Cersei. Like, there's nothing left of King's Landing. Like, she destroys the Great Hall where the Iron Throne is. Like, she destroys everything.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, and I need to make sure that I'm putting a fine point on this. Women and children, like, as well. No one... you had a couple of survivors. Jon Snow starts seeing what's going on, and he's rushing people out of the mm-hmm. city.
And wasn't she buddy-buddy with him?
They were more or less lovers.
Or buddy-buddy,
He had, before she had found out that Jon is the legitimate heir to the mm-hmm. throne, and not, like, she would be, like, second after him. Mm-hmm. But, like, this entire time, the show has said... This is the heir apparent. Like, and she's freed people from slaves.
So Jon Snow, in essence, is Aragorn.
Yeah. Okay. Jon through great personal law. Like, at one point, like, he even does the right thing during the Night's Watch, and he is killed for it. He's brought about through essentially a witch brings him
witchery?
Back to life.
Witchery, I see.
That's the short version of it. But, like, Jon... I mean, he does the right thing to his own, like, thought. Like, he will sacrifice whatever he has a very, very, like, well-tuned moral barometer.
Mm-hmm.
Jon sees this, and again, like, he understands, like, what's going on. And during all of this, because Tyrion wanted to try to save his sister and his brother, because he loves them. He understands that they're... He has freed Jaime, who is a prisoner of Daenerys. Daenerys finds out after. And, like, during the great, like, she's rallying them, just saying, like, we've broken the wheel here. We're going to free every... Like, basically, she just said she had... we freed the people of King's Landing. And, like, they're all just like, yeah, that's not what you did. Like, I'm trying to think of the exact verbiage, but more or less, she's giving a rousing war speech. And Tyrion... And John have talked over, and he's like, she's not stopping here, John. Like, I believed in her too. I'm the hand of the queen. Confronts her in front of, like, all of her armies and everything, walks up beside her, and she goes, you freed Jaime. You've disobeyed your queen. Like, this is treason. And he goes, and you murdered a city. And he takes off the badge of the hand, like, who he's had on there, takes it and throws it,
mm-hmm.
like, down the stairs. And again, tactically, if I was Tyrion and I had just watched this woman burn a city, like, probably the most tactically, like,
tactically
guardable position in all of Westeros. She burned it, literally burned. I don't mean figuratively. With dragon fire, burned it to the ground. She's like, take him away. So Jon comes and visits him, and Tyrion's basically just like, listen, you know who you are. You know what you need to do here. She's not going to stop here. Like, I understand that, like, she freed all these people. And, like, if you look past, like, some of the seasons, we were cheering her when she was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this isn't the first time Daenerys has laid waste.
She's a waste layer. Yeah.
And I mean, if I had three full-grown dragons, I might have two. It wasn't necessarily as out of character, but, like, they have, I mean, she pushed her to this limit. And basically, Daenerys just said, like, I'm not stopping in Westeros. I'm going to free the world now. Anybody that stands in my way, they can deal with me, my dragon, and my armies.
Mm-hmm.
So Jon, after he's talked to Tyrion, and I mean Tyrion for has always been like, his advice is usually pretty sound.
Yes.
It's maybe not going to be the thing that makes you live longer. It's maybe not the thing that's going to give you the happy Disney ending. But it's always sound advice. And basically, he talks to Jon, and he's like, listen, you have the power to stop it. You know what you've got to do, Jon. You're the only one that can make this decision.
How is she dispatched? What, Tyrion dies? Oh, I thought Tyrion ends up with Bran.
Well, he ends, okay. Right. But, right, like, here. At this point, like,
because I feel like I'm in the middle of an episode. It feels just that long.
Daenerys, I mean, has just said he's going to die. Uh-huh. And Jon goes to her and just pleads. He's like, this isn't the way to do it. And he's like, you need to free Tyrion. She's like, I can't. He's like, you can. You are literally the most powerful person. You can do this. And she's like, I can't show the weakness. Like, Jon, you need to do this with me. Like, we can break the wheel. We can reform the world in the way we want to it. And he's like, who decide? And he's like, didn't all those other people that wanted this, didn't they think they were right? She was like, Jon, we are. We, like, do this with me. Like, I want you to do this. Like, with it. Remember that speech in episode 3 where Anakin's like, Padme, we can rule the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
I am the most powerful. Like, really had a lot of echoes of that. I'm just listening to it. And, like, basically, Jon is being told, you can be with, you know, the most powerful woman in the world. You can rule by her side as her, you know, her king.
You can ride a dragon.
Or her underling. You will, I mean, there will be nothing that you cannot have in this world. But Tyrion has also made the point, listen, she knows who you are. She knows your parentage. Unless you think that this is where she's going to stop, like, if you ever interfere with her power, he goes, this isn't the last time she kills.
Mm-hmm.
And more or less, he's just kind of said, like, and she knows who you are. Daenerys is telling him, you know, I want you to do this with me. But she is not backing down from the fact that she's not owning up to the fact that, yeah, I murdered a bunch of innocent people, but, like, I have to inspire fear. That's why I did it. Like, and Jon's not buying the justification.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, be with me. Be with me. Like, rule with me. We can do this together.
Mm-hmm.
So Jon looks at her and he said, you are my queen forever and always. And then you hear,
ugh.
Jon has buried, like, a dagger in her heart. You just start seeing blood dripping out of. And then right after that, you start hearing what's best probably described as the T-Rex from Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
That sound. Daenerys's dragon finds out kind of what's happening. He's pieced it together at this point. He comes up, and it looks like he is about to just waste to Jon Snow.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, melts the Iron Throne, the one that, like, and all the promotional materials, the one that, like, Sean Bean is kneeling in front of, whom you've met, yeah. In front of, on the season 1 DVD set.
That's his name now.
Sean Bean, whom I've met. just melts it to the ground. Like, kind of, I'm assuming it's supposed to be symbolic of the fact that, like, the Iron Throne is gone. I think the dragons are reputedly very smart. I think he understands that he is kind of one of the family. He's not happy about what he's done. Picks up Daenerys in one of his talons and just flies off. We cut to an undisclosed amount of time later. Jon Snow has been jailed for his crime. He murdered the queen. Despite the fact that whatever reason he did it, him and Tyrion are both, like, jailed for this, and it comes
to... Who's left to jail them?
Her master of war is still... He's still there. The leader of the Unsullied. He is still there.
Okay.
And they've basically got everybody that's left in Westeros to try to like come here and say, okay, what do we need to do? Like, who is going to be the leader of the Iron Throne? Tyrion, like, basically just comes to him and he's like, listen, I've had a lot of time to think. I've been in shackles, you know, eating moldy bread, whatever. This is what we need to do. And he is the one that says, Bran. Bran is the three-eyed raven. He knows all of the history. Like, he can see the future. Like, this is the guy that we need. And Bran even states, he goes, well, I don't want it. And he goes, that, and that's why. He goes, you don't crave power. He's like, you don't want to do this. He goes, we have to do away with the oligarchy. He's like, great kings can have stupid children. This is not the way mm-hmm. you need to do it. And they all kind of go, and he's like, you know, vote on it. If I'm wrong, whatever. I'm sentenced to die. Do whatever you're going to do. All of them agree. Yes, Bran is going to do that. And Bran says, basically, then he's like, I'll do this, but you're going to be my hand. And Tyrion's like, I do not want to do. I thought I was a wise man. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I knew what was right. I'm not.
And goes, that's why you need to do it.
And like, he's like, listen, I don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. He's like, for your penance, for your treason, you can do it by setting everything right, you know, for the rest mm-hmm. of your life. And all of them go through saying, I, and they finally get to Sansa, who is now the, like, Jon, who was the king in the North and had been restored. And I'm using quotation mm-hmm. fingers. As a Stark son, say legitimized him. He's not a Stark, and basically the Unsullied are saying Jon Snow will pay for what he's done. So Sansa, who is now head of the North, like she is the queen, more or less the queen of Winterfell, like the head of mm-hmm. Winterfell.
She's Elsa,
kind of. Yeah. she has basically said, listen, nothing bad, nothing good ever happens. Like whenever somebody tries to rule over Winterfell. I think you would make a good king, but Winterfell will remain its own sovereign nation. Mm-hmm. And Bran grants him that. So but basically, like, all of the Lannisters besides Tyrion are dead at this point. Tyrion has made the Hand of the King. The last thing you see is him kind of ruling over the King's Council, them figuring out, okay, this thing's burned to the ground. We've got to figure out how to put it back together. The last thing you see of Sansa is them chanting, Queen of the North, Queen of the North. Arya has, like, they ask, what's west of Westeros? And somebody brings up the point, and they go, I don't know. And she goes, I'm going to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Who, Arya is a world-class assassin by the last season. Like, some of the most spectacular fight scenes and deaths are this character. They haven't disclosed a lot about the spinoffs.
But you're thinking it's her?
I'm telling you, it'd be she's Batman in Westeros. Like, just like a pickpocket, like tries to like hurt a damsel in distress or a man in distress. It doesn't have to be a damsel. You just have her like, you know, knife them from behind. I'm just saying, like, there is definitely some narrative to be told there. Jon, funny enough, has been sent back to guard the wall, even though there's no more White Walkers at this point. He's been made to join the Night's Watch
mm-hmm.
again. And the last thing you see is him going with the Free Folk mm-hmm. that he met in, I want to say, the second or third season. Basically, Jon gets to go up to the far north and just live out his days kind of the way he wanted. Jon managed to fall into upper management in every step of it. Like, the bastard son, what is purported to be the bastard son of Ned Stark, sent to the Night's Watch, basically the cast, that's where you just send everybody, ends up becoming the Lord Commander of the Night's Watch, dies, like, leaves it after that. He's like, my watch has ended, peace. Goes back to Winterfell. Again, Jon Snow, not even a Stark, is made the head of Winterfell and is named King in the North. And he's just like, I can't win. So, like, basically, like, he then, like, says, okay, well, I swear fealty to Daenerys. You know, I'm no longer the king in the North. So, like, he gets rid of that. Then, after he's done that, finds out he's the king of the Seven Kings. Like, guy cannot stop getting better and better titles and power, and he just doesn't want it.
So, at the end of the entire show...
Yeah, that was it.
You have... All three of Ned's children are alive and well.
I think his son that died during the Red Wedding, obviously.
Oh, well,
some of the kids and his wife did not make it, But like the surviving Stark children,
mm-hmm.
like
so they all made it. Tyrion made it, and Jon Snow made it. But you know, when you've got a dragon, I don't see why you can't be brought back. Just saying.
Well, and again, it's not like her. She wasn't beheaded like Ned Stark was dead.
Mm-hmm.
He was dead. She's been stabbed, and like Jon Snow, whenever he was brought back to life, was stabbed with like 12 different swords.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to bring her back in a later incarnation or a later book or whatever, Daenerys could potentially return.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are mechanisms that exist within the confines of this universe that would allow that to happen. But for all intents and purposes, she is not alive now. But she's got a dragon looking after her. And we know that witches and different stuff, like it exists.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible for her to come back. But she is not she's not ruling on the Iron Throne at the end of Game of Thrones.
So, you were satisfied with the ending? You were outraged?
This is a show that every turn of the way has subverted narrative expectation, character expectation. Like, the thing that you want to happen, that you would just love to happen, that would just be your fan service, never happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they beheaded Ned at the beginning of season one, like, and this is before I knew exactly what the show was. Like, I'm just like, what did you killed the main character?
I kept expecting it to have been a fake, or as it started season two, he's like, ha ha. You know,
every time you think something good is going to happen, something worse, like the Red Wedding, when you're like, oh, the Starks, they're finally, those Lannisters are going to get theirs. Pew, 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 pew. Like they're all just wiped out. Every step of the way, everything you think that you want to, like whenever the Starks lost Winterfell again, like everything has went terribly for all these people. Whenever you would normally in storytelling zig, the show is always zagged. Like, it has made an entire show about making you expect a thing, make you love a thing, and then pulling the rug out from underneath you. Anybody that thought Jon and Dany were going to get married and they were going to rule the Seven Kings peacefully for the rest of their days has been sipping too much of the Disney juice. Like,
exactly.
That was never what was going to happen. Somebody either, like, and I, again, after eight seasons, I knew, you know, Daenerys is going to turn on Jon. Jon is going to have to kill her, or maybe Arya kills her. So the two of them did not get to live happily ever after. Like, they didn't. Like, it was not going to happen. The thing I've grown to love about this show is, like, it doesn't give you what you want. It gives you what you need in a story. And that is what has kept people coming back. That's what caused it to grow. Avengers Endgame,
mm-hmm.
That was fan service. Like, that was about giving you it was Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you wanted. Like, you got the Cap moment. You Iron Man got this, like, just wonderful,
We haven't done spoilers yet.
He gets a wonderful send-off. I'm not saying anything about... I'm just saying it's an appropriate send-off for a
yes.
character that started... You get everything that you want in that. Like, it's like having three Christmases simultaneously. And that kind of storytelling is well, fine, and good. But that's never been Game of Thrones.
Absolutely. Now, this leaves two interesting things kind of connected. One, because of the success of this show, tourism in the countries in which it was filmed is booming.
Well, New Zealand is probably has not been upset about the Lord of the Rings
Correct.
For, you know, the last 20
years. So Croatia and Spain and, I forget, maybe it's Wales. Because they were actual castles. I mean, it's not all CGI.
Right, right.
So those places.
What about the dragons?
Those are in a zoo.
Okay, all right. That's what I figured. Yeah,
yeah.
There's no dragons in the wild.
No, not anymore. So all those places people are going to, because I can imagine if that's my favorite show, and it's like, I'm in front of the castle. I mean, you want that picture. So those places are doing really well. And now that it's been the most watched show on a pay service.
Oh, yeah, set all kinds of records.
What's gonna be the next one? And Amazon is hoping it's going to be next year's Lord of the Rings.
However, I think, who is it? Is it, there's another, Stephen King has done.
Yes.
That's the other one that they're saying this, and HBO is also finished, what is it, his Dark Materials?
That sounds right.
Like it's a
Dark,
very heavy.
Oh, that's right. Dark Materials has Lin-Manuel Miranda in it.
And I want to say James McAvoy,
yes.
I think, is in it as well. Like, HBO may have found its successor to Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's hard to predict when something will, like, because Game of Thrones just built every year. It was a phenomenon. And I think saying that this will be the next phenomenon, I think that's harder to call than, like, one of these may be the next, like, fantasy epic. I can mm-hmm. see that. But touching the kind of success and the narrative subversion that this show became popular for, like, it's like right after Lost, when all of those shows tried to do the nonlinear storytelling and, like, they were canceled after two. Like,
yeah.
It's hard to catch this kind of a bottle and, like, become a part of the cultural lexicon and just have all of those elements
one
come.
One does not simply create a genius.
Or walk into Mordor. Like, you just don't.
Just can't. No, not gonna
I'm interested in all of these, like, His Dark Materials looks interesting. Lord of the Rings, I'm obviously interested in. But it's going to be really, really hard to top this. Like, I would genuinely say, and, like, however you felt about the last season, like I said, I still think they were honest to the characters.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part. I knew I wasn't getting a happy ending. Like, and that's part of why I love the show as much as I did, is it never gave me what I thought I was going to get. But, like, it's like finding that out-of-the-way restaurant and mm-hmm. this sandwich or this, you know, dessert or something you've never had. But, like, it's not the thing. I wanted pecan pie. Why did you serve me that? Oh, my goodness, this is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Why have I never had this? Why have I not been eating this my entire life?
Off with their heads. Yeah, that makes sense.
I would easily put it in my top 10 shows of all time. I would have liked it to go out on a higher, like, Endgame, that got to go out on just, you couldn't have picked a better. I think it last weekend it just cleared $2.5 billion.
But this is kind of a downer.
The Game of Thrones has, like, it has just had golden, like, reviews. Like, it was just the tomato meter, like, everybody just loved it. And I think people, like, they came into it and they're just like, oh, like, Daenerys, I'm finally going to get to see her rule. And I'm just like, no, no.
No, you are not.
You listen, I knew that was never it was not going to do a pullback shot of, like, them getting to be, like, basking in the sun of happiness because they brought peace to no, somebody had to pay. And so at best, we were going to get bittersweet happiness. that was the way it was going to end. And, like, if you watched the show and you didn't realize that, it's your fault. Like, you can dislike it, but, like, don't be a toxic fan about it. Like, you can don't sign a petition saying remake the.
I thought that was ridiculous.
That's just
because let's say I was one of the many writers, producers, creators, actors, any of those people. Let's just throw out a number. 500 people, all
or whatever science, yeah.
all worked on that last episode. They collectively rolled their eyes. You want us to what?
Yeah, I
like, listen, no,
and it's not like
done.
It's not like they replaced the showrunners or the writers in the last two seasons. This is the same guys that gave you all the rest of that. And like I said, it's just I think people get so caught up with what they want. And, like, the internet, for better or for worse, has given everybody a stupid voice. And, like, some of the, I was a big fan of Jon Snow. Like, I wanted to see Jon, a good, just man that always did what's right. That's the guy I wanted to see sit on there. But I knew, because I felt that way, it wasn't going to happen. If anything, my love for a character usually dooms them to some kind of either death or horrible torture until they die. After I fell in love with Tyrion second season when he was Joffrey's hand.
I'm so glad.
Like I was just
alive.
Like, oh no, they're gonna, oh he's gonna die at the end of the season.
My favorite. So Jon Snow could also be a series.
Hypothetically. I don't...
Because he's still alive and he's kind of hanging out there.
Right.
Okay, interesting. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed listening to your spoilers.
Plenty of them. Plenty of them in there.
And I did read some articles about things that were mentioned in some episodes that were just threads left hanging. Because they were not main stories. They was like, well, whatever happened to? It's like, we don't know.
I have seen finales that dropped the ball, that did not stick the landing. X-Files come to mind. Just one of the worst finales.
I don't even remember.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's so forgettable. It answered nothing. Like, it was unsatisfying.
And The Sopranos satisfying? I found that annoying.
It really feels like they just stopped the tape.
Yeah.
Like, I would have liked a denouement or some kind of a crescendo to it. But, like, it doesn't invalidate the fact that the other seasons were good.
Correct.
Like, I think, like, Lost was a satisfying story, but they didn't wrap up the show. Like,
were a lot of loose ends.
There was a tremendous amount. There was a plethora of, like, this show, while it may not be, like, the greatest finale that you know, just gave everybody the satisfaction they wanted, I think was at least in keeping with the show that we have been watching for the previous 8-9 years.
I think Ned Stark would have been happy. Played by Sean Bean, with whom
I think he would be happier if he had his head.
Yes.
Truth be told, if anything, he's probably just like, oh, I'm so done with this stupid kingdom. Actually, after what happened to him, he would probably like, good, I'm glad you burned King's Landing to the ground. I don't care. What, my kids made it out fine? Yeah, great. Burn it. Burn it.
Okay, well, there's a lot of stuff being rolled out because the sort of season on regular TV is kaput by the end of May. So we're starting to get new things on the other streaming services. So I, for one, am counting the seconds to good omens.
Because there is no off season anymore.
I know. It's glorious. Just glorious. Anyway, I'm pretty excited about that. And I know there are more new things coming out all of the time. It's just, if Hulu or Amazon or Netflix doesn't tell me to watch it, I don't always know to watch it.
Well, I mean, again, back in the day when there was only three networks and, you know, PBS, you really could have conceivably watched everything.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, I mean, there is just so much of it. Like, if you don't have something, like, say a binge or cringe, pointing you at least in a direction. I'm not saying we're all inclusive or that we cover everything.
Or that we should get a key to the city, but...
Or
we should.
And we won't burn the city down with a dragon.
No, we wouldn't.
Maybe with a flamethrower, but not
a
dragon.
Happy dragon.
Not a happy dragon. No.
Happy.
Not dragon. Not a full-grown dragon.
No, not even. So, anyway, you're welcome.
A public servant. At your service.
And, again, thank you so much for listening, even though one of my friends said, when they touch their phone while they're streaming our show, it starts over from the beginning each time.
So what they're saying is, you can't touch this.
Exactly. Anyway, next week we'll be back. Thanks for listening. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
Binge or Cringe, starring Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens, is a Hinson and Oakley Podcast Center production. Listen to new or past podcasts anytime at rock937online.com.